Welcome back to everyone to our very exciting journey of the true cause of disease. We've gone through the cycle of life, the carbon cycle, a very much acknowledged part of science is the cycle of life. And I like to use the BHSC method in determining truth. The BHSC method, which God gave me early one morning on my morning walk. I've been playing around with these things and he just gave and he coined it for me, the BHSC method. B is for Bible. H is for history. S is for science. And who's the author of Bible, history and science? God is. So that you will find that they will come together. And any guesses on the C? The one that's died, remember him? Common sense. And what you will find when you look at what the Bible says and the history, basically it's, you know, it's happened. And the science, your common sense will look at that and go, well, that makes sense.
Yeah, it is.
Hmm? And that's also what I love about the Bible. It makes sense. And my husband, who was a altar boy, and when he went to the weekends with the Catholic priest because he wanted to become a priest, and they laughed at his questions. They could not answer his questions, so he threw everything in and at the age of 14 became an atheist. And after being a wild bikie and having many drugs, he was working at the in the railways as an electrician, doing an electrician apprentice. A young man came to work there who was a Seventh-day Adventist. Isn't God good? What does the Bible say? You are the light of the world. A light set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but they set it on a candlestick and it gives light to all that are in the house. Isn't that what Joseph's life did in that prison? Isn't that what Daniel's life did? And this young man was able to answer all of Michael's questions. No matter what he asked, Michael would say, how can you say God is a God of love when he makes people burn forever? And the young man say, no, he doesn't.
Yeah.
How can you say? And the young man would say, no, he doesn't. And the young man would say, show me.
Yeah.
Show me. And the more Michael searched, he'd go to the library, he'd try and search out to prove this young man wrong. The more he searched into history and science, the more he discovered. What did he discover? That the Bible is the truth.
Yeah.
That the Bible is the truth. So at the age of 21, he surrendered his life to God. Praise be to God. Because it made sense. My husband's a very analytical man. He said, salvation is a perfect legal argument. It's got to make sense. This makes sense. This makes a lot of sense. And a very famous nurse named Florence Nightingale. And the story is very interesting. And when I read her story, wow, it just, here's some history that totally supports the Bible and the spirit of prophecy. She was brought up in a very wealthy family. Her father had several inheritances, and he did what was unusual at the time. He educated his daughters. So usually rich young girls just went to parties with beautiful dresses and sewed fine seams and painted watercolours. And if you were not a wealthy young woman, then at a very early age you had to work. They were all taught needlework. They'd often do sewing or ironing. And if they were even poorer, they'd be sent to the mines. Yeah, this was the early 1800s. Florence Nightingale said the only time she was happy was when she was taking food parcels to the poor people. She was not happy with the parties, with the sewing the fine seams and the watercolours. And at the age of 18, God spoke to her and God asked her to work for him. Over the next few years, they were incredibly frustrating because she didn't know what she should do. And when she mentioned to her mother and father at the age of 20 she'd like to become a nurse, oh, they were horrified. Yeah. Because nurses at the time were often women of ill repute who took sick people in, took their money, and then a doctor visited. And this doctor visited when she was in her late 20s. She was a friend of the, he was a friend of the father's, who had an institution in Europe where young girls whose corsets were too tight and they fainted would go to his institution and he would help them. And so the parents gave her permission to go there, and she loved it. And she particularly loved the organisation. She was a smart lady. She really liked all of that. So by the age of early 30s, she had a bit of a reputation, and she'd even worked in some facilities in London. And it was 1856 that a war correspondent went to Scutari. Where's Scutari? So here is Crimea, and at the time the British and the French were fighting the Russians. The wounded were being put in boats in the Black Sea. That's the Black Sea, and that's a boat. And they were taken down to the... Yes, I have to explain because I'm not a great drawer. Scutari is the hospital where the wounded from the Crimean War were being taken. And a war correspondent went into Scutari. Ex-army Turkish barracks was the hospital, so it's in Turkey. War correspondents went to report on the war effort, and he was shocked at what he found. 50% of the young men, and aren't they young shoulders, that got into that hospital died in that hospital. So he went back to London, and it made headlines in the newspaper. Did we raise our young men for this? To rot in this hospital? Can you imagine the English people rose up? That's their nephews, that's their sons, that's their grandsons. So very quickly the English government sent Florence Nightingale and 35 nurses to Scutari to see what they could do. Florence was horrified. There was raw sewage in the corridors. The plumbing wasn't working well. The doctors were not washing their hands from operation to operation. The food was big pots of water with bits of rotten meat in it. So Florence knew her limitations as a woman. See, when they arrived, the doctor said, "This is men's business, you're not coming in here." So she went to the kitchen. They started cleaning there. And she sent a telegram to the British government and said, "You need to make up a sanitary commission immediately and send them over to assess what's going on here." And they did. And this is what they found. The hospital was built in a swamp. There was a dead horse in the swamp and a dead dog in the swamp, and the men were drinking the water out of that swamp. Isn't it incredible that the death rate wasn't 80%? So very quickly the Sanitary Commission contracted men, they fixed the plumbing, they got rid of the dead dog and the dead horse, they started boiling the water. Meanwhile, Florence Nightingale sent a telegram to her wealthy father, "I want a shipload of clean linen, clean bandages, mattresses, scrubbing brushes, and a cook. You cannot heal without nourishment." Within, I think it was 3 months of Florence Nightingale implementing these principles, the death rate went from 50% to 2%. And when she eventually came back to London, she saw on the wharf a huge welcoming party hailing her as a heroine. She changed her name to Mary Smith, went down the back gangplank and went home. And they said to her later, "Why did you do that?" She said, "I'm not a heroine." She said, "All I did," and this is important to grab this, "all I did was increase sanitation." What's sanitation? That's keep the house clean. Get rid of the waste. When the plumbing didn't work well, they got chamber pots, 30 men to one chamber pot. Yeah. Sanitation, hygiene. What's your hygiene? This is washing the body. This is washing hands between operations. How did Florence Nightingale know that and the doctors didn't? She read her Bible. And this book here, The Ministry of Healing, it's got a chapter in there in hygiene amongst the Israelites in the desert. Do you know there was no sickness in those camps? There was no sickness because of the sanitation and hygiene. If you wanted to go to the toilet, you had to go outside the camp, dig a hole, bury it. No one could know you'd been there. And if someone died, the people that carried the dead person outside the camp and buried it, they couldn't come back into the camp for 3 days. Had to wash their body, they washed their clothes. Because whenever something dies, what have you got starting? You got the cycle of life. And as these are active, they're giving off toxic fumes. What's the third one? Nutrition. Your body cannot heal if it doesn't have nourishment. That's not right. I'm still mastering the art of saying one thing and writing another. Have you tried it?
Yeah.
Not easy. Practice makes perfect. Practice makes permanent, and practice is the mother of retention. She said, I am not a heroine. All I did was that. She basically said, what's the big deal? Is that common sense? Huh?
Yeah.
It is. It's absolutely common sense. In fact, it's a miracle that they even survived the boat trip, because if there was a storm brewing, oh, that was tough. She met a man in the hospital who was still in his battle clothes 2 weeks after being admitted. Yeah. And it's a wonder Moore didn't die, because even their washing was done with the contaminated water. Because when the dead dog and the dead horse are in the water, what's happening? Huh? They're toxic fumes that are being given off.
Also, the doctor said they drank the same water, I believe.
Yeah, they save water. So let me give you a graph. And I think this graph is one of the reasons why I was banned. So you've got all your childhood illnesses, mumps, measles, rubella, chicken pox, diphtheria, whooping cough, polio. They were all, and the medical journals show this. Unfortunately, they've taken the graphs out because they don't want you to know this. Sometimes 80%, sometimes 90% wiped out, then the vaccines were introduced. So why this drop? Because of Florence Nightingale. Because of her reforms in sanitation, hygiene and nutrition. Because where do these live? Where there's waste. I've seen photos of children playing in the streets in the mid-1800s with raw sewage, next to raw sewage in the streets. Have you noticed that no black plagues happen now? It's all because of sanitation, hygiene and nutrition. And did you know that in the 1850s, the sewage from London went into the Thames and the people living in London drank the water from the Thames? Oof, no wonder the Black Plague happened. No wonder there was so much disease. But we've got another graph now. It's attention deficit syndrome, it's hyperactivity, it's autism, it's epilepsy, it's cot death. What are they caused from? The neurotoxins in the vaccine. Did you know that in the vaccine there's formaldehyde? There's aluminium? And there's mercury under the name of thimisil. Do you want that injected into your children? Every parent vaccinates their child because they want the best for their child. That's why the only hope of better things is educating people in the right principles. So if someone says to me, should I vaccinate my child? You know what I say to them? I'm not going to tell you what to do. But it's important that you investigate. And there is some very good literature out there. Just find out what's in the vaccine. Just go to the chemist and say, can I have a printout of what's in the vaccine? And if you're not sure what those words mean, you've got, just go to Safari and put the words in and that'll tell you. And if you say to the doctor, I will vaccinate my baby if you can guarantee to me that there will be no side effects. And if you will be liable if my child has any side effects. No parent would vaccinate their child because there is no doctor that will commit to that. Even the COVID vaccine, this is a great thing to say, I'll take the vaccine if you can show me the safety studies. And by the way, did you know there aren't any? And if you will agree to be liable if I have any adverse effects. No one would take it. Uh-huh. So that's a good thing to say, because if you start with, no way am I taking the vaccine, even though that's what I think, you have to work with people. You have to work with the people that are requiring you to do that. And isn't that how Jesus worked? He was always kind, he was always loving, and Colossians 4 verse 6 says, let your speech be always with grace, always with grace. There was something like 10,000 cases of autism. Today, it's estimated to be in the millions. 1 in 45 children have either attention deficit syndrome, hyperactivity, autism. And there's a book, we sell it, we get it from America, by Dr. Bruce Fyfe, and it's called Stop Autism Now. So each of my children that married someone who didn't grow up the way they did, who were brought up with medicine, I gave them the book Stop Autism Now. Because the first four chapters investigate the cause of autism, investigate the role of vaccines in autism. They look at exactly what's in the vaccines. And so none of my grandchildren are vaccinated. Because once you find out these things, the only hope of better things is what? The education of people in the right principles. We have a great little book we sell. I know you can only buy it in Australia. It's called The Myths and the Facts of Vaccines. So I say to our guests, just a little book. I said, give it to your son or son-in-law or daughter-in-law and say, I'd really like to know what you think of that. Don't say read that, because they won't. If you say you should read that, guess what? They won't even pick it up. It'll probably go in the bin. But just say, I found this interesting. I'd really like to know what you think of it. You see, that's how you will draw them in. But it's just getting information. And that's what my husband's political party is called, the Informed Medical Options Party. So every decision we make should be an informed decision. Remember what God said in 2 Timothy 1 verse 7, I have not given you the spirit of fear but of power, love and a sound mind. You know what a sound mind does? It assesses these things. And it weighs up the pros and cons. The amount of people that have come to our retreat and have said to me, if only I'd had time to think, I wouldn't have done what I did. So often the medical profession will say, quick, we can get you in tomorrow. Do you know what you say? You say, thank you so much for your advice, because they're doing the best they know. Thank you so much for your advice. I'm going to seriously consider this. Remember, smile? Saying, don't call me, I'll call you. And that gets them off your back a bit. And remember, they're just doing the best they know. Because they believe that you've got to do it, or it's like what they said to Michael when he wouldn't go to the eye specialist. Do you want to go blind? Because that's what they believe will happen. And they're wanting to help you. So have mercy. because the god of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. And I think you'll also agree with me, he also seems to have blinded the minds of them that do choose to believe in God. Isn't that true? The deception is great. What was the, you know, when Bibles say even their very elect can be deceived if they're not grounded on truth. The grounding on truth is important. So Florence Nightingale, she said, disease is a process of repair. Yeah. What did Ellen White said? Disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that arise because of a violation of the law of health. So that's very similar wording to what Florence Nightingale said. And Florence Nightingale and Ellen White didn't know each other. One's in England and one's in America, and we didn't have the technology we have today. Florence Nightingale said, disease is a process of repair. She said, not necessarily accompanied with suffering. If there's suffering, it's the nurse's fault for not applying the laws of nursing. And do you know what she considered the laws of nursing to be? Pure air, sunshine, abstemiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, use of water, trust in God. Wow, who gave her them? God did. And her common sense said, this makes sense. It's got to make sense. Because anyone can say anything, isn't that right? So when people say things to you, you say, oh, that's interesting. I'll think about that. And if it's extreme or it doesn't make sense to you, what you do is you just put it on the shelf. You just put it on the shelf and say, I'll see how we are. It's like, was it 20 years ago I was told you shouldn't eat soy. Soy is bad for you. I'll put that one on the shelf. But as we go through these lectures, I'm going to show you why they said that and what the truth is on soy. And we'll definitely be looking at that as we look at hormones. Florence Nightingale said something else too. When she read of Louis Pasteur's theory, she said, this is the theory of a man of a very unstable mind. Hmm? And she said, and anyone who believes it is equally unstable. And isn't that what medicine is based on today? The germ theory. And I mentioned last night Antoine Bouchon. He's a French professor, and by the way, six times professor, most of us will never get to one, six times professor. But no one liked his theory, whereas Pasteur was a chemist, a socialite. They loved his theory. A germ has made you sick, you poor thing. Take this drug to kill the germ and you will be well. And let me tell you what Bouchon said, which is why they didn't like him. Disease is born innocent of us. No one liked that theory. He said, how much water are you drinking? Are you eating nourishing food? Well, we don't want to go there. And isn't it exactly the same today? Have you noticed that the people that die from COVID have pre-existing health conditions? So if it was before COVID, it would be called lung cancer. It would be called pneumonia. I have a friend. He's a pastor and he sees the truth, but his son doesn't. If someone says, how can I protect myself against COVID? I say, stop watching the nightly news. Isn't that the best protection? But this son was watching all of that and being taken in. So he insisted his 16-year-old son get vaccinated. 2 days later, he was found dead in bed. And do you know what the paramedics put on the death certificate? Died of natural causes. Do 16-year-olds die from natural causes? So it's almost as if they put on the death certificate what they like. Whereas in 2020 and 2021, it didn't matter what it was called COVID. And my daughter's neighbour, 12-year-old son, died. He was caught in a flooded creek. His clothes got caught. He's Amish. And he drowned. The paramedics came. It was too late. And on the death certificate, they wrote, died from COVID. And the parents were angry. They said, our son drowned. You know what the paramedic said? Oh, we tested him and he tested positive. Do you know what that means? They're testing dead bodies. Why would they test a dead body? Every dead body will test positive for COVID because the cycle of life has begun. Can you see that? These microorganisms will always be there. What did Solomon say? There's nothing new under the sun. Viruses have always been around. Oh, yes, and some of them are named COVID. Mm-hmm. When your sound mind assesses the history of the last 2 years, well, there was a real knee-jerk reaction, wasn't there? In fact, it was March 2020, and I was getting all these messages, get home quick, they're shutting the borders. I was in the US. I got the last plane out of Dallas to Australia. And 3 hours later, they brought in quarantine. Whew! Praise be to God, I got out by the skin of my teeth. But it was all a reaction to... And we're not going to go right into what's behind that. We know there is one behind it, and that is the devil, whose aim is to destroy us. 1 Peter 5, verse 8, knowing that your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeing whom he can devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. So here we get the faith opposite to the fear again. Did you know that faith grows strong by going to earnest conflict with fear and doubt? So when fear arises, resist it, because God says, I've not given you the spirit of fear. Power, love, and a sound mind. No wonder the only hope of better things is the education of people in the right principles. I've got Florence Nightingale's book at home on nursing. She says, nursing, what it is and what it is not. And she says very clearly that germs don't cause disease. They're the result of unhealthful conditions. And that's all she did. She did it in India too. She cleaned up the hospitals. And guess what? Guess what? The death rate drastically dropped. The disease rate drastically dropped. Just clean it up. So when my grandson was riding down the hill very fast and slid and hit his head and his head scraped and he got a big cut there, they brought him straight over to me. It was an inch by an inch. I think he was seven or eight at the time. I said, we've got to clean that out, get all the little bits of gravel out and bind it up. Put comfrey on it. And every 24 hours, don't dress it under that because you've got to give time for those little cells to heal. So my son would take the dressing off and he would see a little bit of pus. Do you know why there's a little bit of pus? He hasn't got an infection. He's got a little bit of pus because a little bit of bacteria is created because there was a little bit of dirt or gravel still in there. And William would wipe off the pus and in the pus was that little bit of gravel. Isn't the body amazing? Yeah. And that happened a few times and then it healed just beautifully. In fact, we had a registered nurse then. She's taken photos. She'd never seen anything like it. When you know that, it takes away fear. Why do smokers constantly cough up yellow lumps? You know what yellow is? It's dead white blood cells. And they're there doing a job. And when we have a look at blood this afternoon, we're going to have a look at the white blood cells. That's our immune system. We have an amazing immune system that has an inbuilt ability to heal itself. And it will if you give it the right conditions. So, of course, you've got to clean the house. Hydrogen peroxide's a great thing to clean with. Seawater's a great thing to clean a wound with. and iodine. In fact, I have a friend who's a surgeon. She said, before we cut, we always wash it with iodine. That's antifungal. These are some very simple things that every first aid kit should have. And we'll be going over what a first aid kit should have as we go through, especially when we touch on the herbs. Some very, and you'll find that it can be in quite a little box. Your poultice box at home might be a little bit bigger. But you just got to clean house. And if you don't have any of that, just clean it with water. Just with water.
What about cayenne?
Yes, cayenne's very good with a cut. You can sprinkle it in and it'll seal it. That certainly can work. That's an important part of the first aid kit is cayenne. So Antoine Bouchon, he was under the microscope a lot. And if he changed the environment of the blood, he saw immediately the bacteria, yeast and fungus is starting to grow in there. So if any of that's active in the body, it's important to find out why it's there. So I'm going to give you a story of two brothers. One's Sick Steve and one's Healthy Harry. They're brothers. Sick Steve likes meat and coffee and sugar and likes to have alcohol every night, doesn't exercise. Healthy Harry, his brother, who lives in the other end of the house, he's a surfer, he's a landscaper, exercises every day. And Sick Steve says to Healthy Harry, you've taken all the fun out of life. And I want to have a look at fun, because life should be good. One day, Cousin Colin visits, and Cousin Colin has got a bad cold. Let's make it appropriate for today. Let's call it COVID, because that's all I think it is. It's a different strain of the flu or cold. And remember what it is? COVID is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that arise because of a violation of the laws of health. So Cousin Colin comes in and sneezes just as he's shaking Sick Steve's hand. Have you seen what happens when a sneeze happens? Little droplets come out with little bits of bacteria and yeast and fungus is all busy in the house cleaning Cousin Colin, and they land on Sick Steve, breathes them in. They come into Sick Steve's body and they go, yippee, there's a feast in here. What do they eat? Salvage. You see, Steve's a smoker and those lungs got a lot of damage in them. That's why every smoker coughs up yellow lumps. It's the white blood cells trying to clean up the damage. Then Healthy Harry comes into the room, shakes hand. Hi, mate. That's what we say in Australia. How are you going, mate? Good, thanks, mate. Sorry, sneezes all over him. They jump into Sick Steve. There's nothing to eat.
Healthy Harry.
There's nothing to eat in Healthy Harry's body because our body is a self-cleansing organism. And when we exercise every day, when we drink adequate water, nutrition, have early nights, that self-cleansing organism, and we'll look in another lecture, where it throws off the waste. It's an amazing creation that we live in. But let's say Healthy Harry has just been to Hawaii on a surfing holiday, couldn't eat as well as he usually does, I was on the plane for a long time and it was rocky in the air so he couldn't get out of his seat to get water, the fumes from the plane aren't great. So maybe when Cousin Colin sneezes on Healthy Harry, those microbes have got a little bit of something here and there to do. By the end of the day, Sick Steve is sick. Sore throat, runny nose. He says, that rotten cousin of mine, he's given me his bug. Isn't that what we say? I've caught the bug. So he has a couple of Jack Daniels to help him sleep. Closes the window, doesn't want a draft. Sick Steve, on the other hand, he's got a little bit of a sore throat. Healthy Harry. Healthy Harry, on the other hand, he's got a bit of a sore throat. He calls in the SWAT team. What's the SWAT team? He goes to the gym, does an intense workout, goes in the steam sauna, sweats out. That's a great way to get rid of waste. Dives in the cool pool, back in the hot steam. Goes home, decides not to have anything to eat that night, because when you stop digestion, the body's energies go into healing, as we'll also look at. And he has a flu bomb, and you'll get the recipe for the flu bomb. It's grated ginger and grated garlic and lemon and honey and eucalyptus oil and cayenne pepper and a bit of hot water. Ooh, it's potent. That's God's antibiotic drink. Throws it down, goes to sleep, piles the blankets up on him, wakes up in the morning, his sheets are wet, his pajamas are wet. Whoa, he's had a great sweat that night. Gets up, has a nice big draught of water, a bit of Celtic salt, a bit more water. He believes in the great God of heaven, prays, has another drink of water, and then goes and does his high intensity up and down the hills. Sick Steve thinks he's mad. Because Sick Steve just stays in bed. Has a nice hot cup of coffee, the hot drink's nice on his throat. Throws down a couple of painkillers. Sick Steve comes back from his walk, has a hot and cold shower. Sorry, get it right. Healthy Harry comes back from his walk feeling great. Just keeping you on your toes. He has his antibiotic sandwich for breakfast. He has some fresh fruit, and then he has some seeds and nuts. Then he has a slice of sourdough spelt bread, olive oil, crushed clove of garlic over the whole slice, avocado and tomato on top, calms it down. Oh, cayenne pepper in there too. He has two of his antibiotic sandwiches, and he's feeling good. And he goes to work. No one comes near him that day. It's perfectly fine because his breath is almost, it's almost been purified from the garlic. They're going, oh, what have you done, Healthy Harry? He said, it's all right. I'm protecting you with my my strong garlic. He said, if it wasn't for this, I wouldn't be here. They say, okay, you just work in that corner of the garden today. Let's go back to Sick Steve. Oh, he's miserable. So he calls his favourite doctor. It took him a while to find this doctor. He loves this doctor. He never asks uncomfortable questions like, are you still smoking? He just goes in and he almost puts his pen up with the script. Hi, Steve. What's your problem? He said, oh, my rotten cousin gave me his wog, gave me his bug. He listens to his chest with a stethoscope. I almost said binoculars. I knew it was something. With the stethoscope. And the doctor says, whoa, there's a party going on in there. And there is. They've just multiplied out of control because there's a feast in there. Remember what the feast is? The dummy. He says, oh, mate, you got it bad. Take this course of antibiotics. Thanks, Doc. I knew I could depend on you. Goes home while he's smoking his cigarettes. Remember, keeps the window shut, gets into bed, has his drugs there and his hot coffees and takes his antibiotics. Still eats. Still has lots to eat. This happens regularly. Over the next few years, 10 years later, Sick Steve is now 40 and he starts coughing up blood. Goes to the doctor, whoa, he's got lung cancer. Goes home, Healthy Harry says, what's the matter, mate? He said, I've just found out I've got lung cancer. And the doctor wants to do the slash poison and burn, I mean surgery, chemo and radiotherapy. Hmm? In 20 years, will they look back and say we're in the dark ages? Sure. Did you know more people die from chemo than actually cancer? And healthy Harry says to sick Steve, Steve, let me shout you 2 weeks at this health retreat. 2 weeks for you to consider your options. That's the best thing to say. You'll have time to think, you'll have a little break to consider your options. Okay, says sick Steve. He goes, he hears this lecture, he runs into his room, he gets the cigarettes and he throws them in the fire. He says, anything you tell me to do, I will do. Sometimes it's too late, sometimes it's not. But you do the best you can. So if someone comes to me with cancer, I say, we see 3 outcomes. Sometimes we see turnarounds. We had a guy do our program. He said, I'm here because I met a man in the street who told me that he had cancer. He came to Misty Mountain and it's gone. Now, we didn't hear that story. Sometimes we see turnarounds. Sometimes we see 6 months go to 3 years. And sometimes we see the last days made more comfortable. Now, that's a very good thing to say to people. Can you see you're not promising them anything? And you're being realistic, but kind. Mm-hmm. And we've had some people die, and they came very advanced. But their wife or their husband rings us a month later to tell us that they've passed. And you know what they always say? Thank you. Thank you. Because we had such an enjoyable week, and what we learnt to do there made his last days made more comfortable, so he died with dignity. Mm. One lady came to us and she said, I haven't got long to live. I've only got a month to live. She said, I am on chemotherapy for palliative care. I said, do you know what palliative care means? It means making the last days mud more comfortable. Does chemo do that? The hair falls out, vomiting, diarrhea, and one lady told me all her fingernails went black. That, I don't consider that palliative care. But even in this case, when I said to her, do you know what palliative care means? And I said, and this chemo, what it's doing? I said, but it's your choice. She chose to stop. She chose to stop. You see, sometimes the doctor says it'll give you 6 more months. Well, when they've advanced cancer, I don't know whether you want 6 more months. And that 6 months, what sort of life is it when you've got diarrhea and vomiting and your hair's falling out? And that's why the only hope of better things is the education of people in right principles. Let the physicians teach the people that restorative power lies not in drugs, but in nature. Because disease is an effort of nature to free the system from conditions that arise because of a violation of the laws of health. And so when someone has a bad chest, like sick Steve, and they're given antibiotics, what is an antibiotic? That's right. And when you write this up on the board and write its meaning, now that, doesn't a picture tell 1,000 words, even though these were, against life. So if we're living organisms, we have to get away from this kill mentality, because anything that has the ability to kill a small organism has the potential to kill a large. And what are we? We're the large. What is an antibiotic? You might like to write these figures down because this is very important information to share. 1929, Alexander Fleming. 1929, Alexander Fleming was growing bacteria in flasks in his laboratory. What was his name? Alexander Fleming. He came in one morning and all the bacteria was dead. And he knew Newton's third law of motion. To every action, there's an equal and an opposite reaction. Why has his bacteria died? So he began to investigate. Nothing in the laboratory could have done it. He went outside the laboratory, looking around, and the sun was coming in the window, and there was a thick dust on the sun's rays. So he followed that, and in the next story there was a plate of fruit, and in the plate of fruit there was a mouldy orange. And the mould waste was coming down and settling on his bacteria. So he called the mould penicillium. He called the mould waste, which is more toxic than the mould, he called the mould waste penicillic acid. And that penicillic acid is the penicillin that we know today. They were so excited about the discovery that they tested hundreds of different mould wastes. 80% of them were so deadly they killed the rats. Penicillin's not safe. In fact, the body can only cope with about 2 courses in a lifetime. And 1% of doctors today, that's a good figure to remember, 1% of doctors today are claiming that antibiotics are causing more problems than they ever cured. What are they referring to? What happens when a person takes an antibiotic? What happens the next week? They get thrush, is that right? Thrush. Because what have they just put into their body? A mould waste. Mm-hmm. Now I know, and we'd be fools not to acknowledge this, antibiotics have saved lives. They have, they are, and they will continue. But they should be kept as life-saving. That's all. But ideally, as medical missionaries, we show people how to nip it in the bud. You know that saying? Nip it in the bud, meaning, you know, if you nip a bud, the flower won't develop, will it?
Okay.
So it's an old saying. Forgive me if I say sayings that you're not familiar with. Nip it in the bud is when there's first inkling of a problem, do something. Do something right away, yeah? Yeah. Do something right away. That's why as medical missionaries you're teachers. You're teaching people how to give their bodies the conditions for healing. So what I did when I had the conjunctivitis and the raging sore throat and the high fevers, I immediately took cayenne pepper. On a sore throat? Oh, it tingles, but then when the tingle goes down, the throat is not as sore. Drank a lot of water, drank nice hot peppermint teas and ginger teas, slept 3 hours in the morning, 3 hours in the afternoon. Went to bed at 8 o'clock and slept all night. Now, normally I can't do that. But can you see when you're sick, what's the body telling you? This is good. Do you remember what we do? It's you look at history. You look at symptoms. But your main guidance as to what you do is the body's response. So when the salt water that I was bathing my eyes with for conjunctivitis started to really sting, I decided to change. I went to chamomile tea. My friend Ruth, she's my Scottish mother, she's in her 80s, she said, "You've got a bad infection." Because the sore throat started to develop into a bad earache. But I'm actually going to save that story for when we're looking at poultices. But as you can see, I'm better. My eyes are better, my throat and my ear are better, because we get better. So I want to show you the 4 words. It's a one-letter word. I am the one that chooses what goes into my body. It is my God-given right to say no thank you. Isn't that right? It is my God-given right to choose what I do with my body. The two-letter word is the human body will heal itself if you give it the right conditions. The three-letter word is why. Why am I sick? Oh, I'm having a cleanse. What's the four-letter word? Time. Ellen White says on page 127 of the Ministry of Healing, nature's process of healing and upbuilding is gradual, and to the impatient it seems slow. I'm impatient. I want to be better now. So you also have to teach the people that you've got to give it time. And there are two lovely verses in the Bible that you can give them. One is found in Galatians 6, verse 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. If you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God and do that which is right in his sight. Let us not be weary in well-doing, right in his sight, which is working with the healing processes that God has put into this body. The other verse is found in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away therefore thy confidence in the which is great recompense of reward. Don't cast away your confidence in this amazing body that God has given us with an inbuilt ability to heal itself. Don't cast your confidence away in that. Don't cast your confidence away in God. Cast not away, therefore, thy confidence in the which is great recompense of reward. Because there will be reward by putting your confidence in God and his body that heals itself. For ye have need of patience. In that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. And what's the promise? It's promises found. I'm sure you all know it well. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. So time. Sometimes you just need to give it time. I just had to lie in bed for 2 days and get a good book. Get a good book and just wait for the body to heal itself, because what you will find if you don't have confidence in God and his ability to heal, fear kicks in. And my dear Scottish mum, who of course has been all brought up in the era if you go to the doctor, she said, you've got a bad infection. Now, you know what? That could have gone into my mind and I might have thought, maybe I have. Both eyes now, my throat so sore. Can you see? Fear. So that's why the Bible says, cast not away therefore thy confidence. Confidence in God, confidence in his ability to heal. So what you will find many times, you're going to have to be a salesman. And you're going to have to convince your people that this is the best way. And well-meaning relatives I've seen have put fear into so many people. They leave our retreat excited. And then the voices come in. This is dangerous. It's not proven. It's not scientific. The doctor knows. They know what is best. Oh, it's hard. So when they ring me up, I say, I'm so sorry. I understand. But remember that it is your body. And you know what will quieten a lot of those well-meaning voices is, I'm really happy with what I'm doing. I'm getting results and I'm really happy with what I'm doing. The amount of mothers that contact me, Barbara, my baby's so small. My mother says my baby's not big enough and I have to start feeding. And feeding the baby when it hasn't even got any teeth. Makes no sense at all. We'll cover that. I said, send me a photo of the baby. Gorgeous baby. not roly-poly, but then they're not all roly-poly, are they?
That's roly-poly.
Mm. I said, you know, that's a much easier baby to carry than this great big fat babies that break your back. I said, your baby's perfectly normal. Your baby looks beautiful. Can you see what I have to do? I have to give them some confidence. Is your baby happy? Yes. Has your baby got lots of wet nappies? Yes. I said, that's all you need. You see how simple it is? But fear kicks in. And what does God say? I have not given you the spirit of fear, power and love, and of a sound mind. A sound mind considers this. So the body can cope with about two courses in a lifetime. And there are quite a few researchers, doctors today that are showing the fungal link with disease. And my book, Self Heal by Design, I think you can get it on Kindle. Oh, good. And if you contact my daughter in America, I'll put her email up on the board. She will post you a copy. And if you'd like to get together and buy a box, you'll get them cost. Now, the book has been out of print for 6 months because of the COVID restrictions. There was a paper shortage in the US and we couldn't print it. But it is printed now and it is available again. Because some people said, I couldn't get your book. I said, it's available now. It's on Amazon in Australia and America.
Yeah,
and you have it on Kindle. My book called Self Heal by Design, the subtitle is The Role of Microorganisms in Disease. So basically it shows the cycle of life. And I have, it's well researched. There's a lot of material there that you can source to see all the scientific studies. For instance, Professor Constantini, he's former head of the World Health Organization Department of Mycology. What's the Department of Mycology? Medicine's terminology for a mold waste is a mycotoxin. Myo is muscle, but myco is mold. And if you go to a medical dictionary, you will see page after page after page of diseases that has a prefix of myco. Myconeumonia, myco skin diseases, myco in all areas. I have another book called Clinical Mycology, written by four doctors, and every chapter shows the fungal link with every disease. In fact, Dr. Holland, who wrote a book called The Germ That Causes Cancer with Doug Kaufman, someone said to him, are you saying fungus causes all diseases or most diseases? He said, are you saying fungus causes most diseases? He said, no, all. Sometimes it plays a large part, sometimes it plays a small part. And sometimes it can be from being contaminated by breathing in mold, mold coming in through your skin, eating moldy things. And it can be sexually transmitted. Sometimes it can come in many ways. Or sometimes, like in Sick Steve's state, his lungs were so damaged that his own microorganisms evolved into the fungal form and started to eat that away. So the cycle of life can actually be manifested in different parts of the body while the person's still living.